welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, the crossover episode. We're talking about private practice today, too. Don't forget about good old Pee-Pee. You have your two favorite hosts in the entire universe, world, galaxy. My name is Carmen.
And my name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast crossover. We are so excited. Quick note before we get into it. We'll be doing our regular amount of discussion and information on Grays. We will probably not be going as deep on the private practice storylines outside of the direct, like, Grey's Anatomy one. We'll talk about it a little bit. It just won't be, like, as much of a deep dive as we do on Grays or as we will be doing in the future on our private practice recaps. So that's what we're looking at for the day.
Yes, and let's start out with just a couple of shout-outs, if that's okay with you. Number one, I have to shout out Brianna and Janisha for being huge helps. Guys, spoiler alert, I didn't finish private practice. I tried so hard. I did. This is not a Kelsey problem. This is a me problem. I want you to know. I'm just not capable of binging. I'm not great at it. But there are some storylines. I'm not going to spoil them. But if you're listening to this show, you're going to get spoilers for this episode. And the context of things will shock you, potentially. So I will tell you that there are some storylines that I was filled in the gaps that I felt are compelling enough that I will go back and I will make sure that I watch them for private practice.
Going to watch private practice eventually anyway.
I literally have to. I'm gonna get caught up on the train. I'm still gonna keep doing what I was doing. I'm just gonna finally get caught up. I want to shout out a new friend, Andrea, who is listening to us from Bavaria near Munich over in Germany. So I want to shout her out. She said that would definitely be willing to give us a tour of Germany if we were on our next couples trip. And I said that is for sure on our list, is to get into Germany. So there is that one there. I want to shout out Sarah, who commented on my little puppy's post on Instagram and said how cute she was. I always love a good dog compliment. I need to shout out another new follower. Her name is Kate, and she is out in the UK. And we had a really good conversation around, like, she works in, like, the PR world for like, publishing and stuff. So very, very cool. And we were talking about German Shepherds and her grandparents always having German Shepherds. So loved that. Also had a chance to talk to the person who gave us that, that review, Snuggins. I think I had shouted them out last week, but wanted to shout them out again. Had a good conversation with them. And I think there was one more. Oh, Diamond, shout out for all of the no spoiler Grays themed Valentine's cards. Those were very funny. And I think, Omyra, I'm so sorry. I was like, literally, Omyra had messages from December 9th that I had not responded to on Instagram that somehow flew under my radar. And I am just so sorry. There was a great meme of an AT-AT walking or by the Chicago Theater in the winter that she sent me. She sent me a very funny ChatGPT meme. And she said, though you have not read my DMs, I shall not resent you like Owen Hunt. So I needed to shout you out. I'm so sorry. Thank you for the patience. And I think... shout out to Shanna. Shana. Living in Shana land. She started her own podcast. I'm excited to listen to that. That's all I got. I'm done talking.
Okay. I don't really.
And now for more shout outs.
So I will be panting yet again because I can't breathe still. So it will sound like I'm running on a treadmill, but I'm simply sitting down being pregnant.
No, she's running on a treadmill. She's doing great. She's training for a marathon.
Ew, gross. have you seen that tweet that's like, marathons are crazy. Like, once one guy ran 26 miles and then died, so then for the rest of eternity, people ran 26 miles and didn't die just to troll him.
I have not seen that meme. That's very funny.
So funny. Okay, so this is the 15th episode of the 8th season of Grey's Anatomy. It is the 163rd episode overall. It is called Have You Seen Me Lately? And that is a song.
Have You Seen Me Lately? Have You Met Ted? Have You Seen Me Lately? Is a song off of the album Have You Seen Me Lately? By Carly Simon. And this is the 15th album by Carly Simon, released on September 25th, 1990. The song does not have any charting, but the album spent 32 weeks on the U.S. Billboard 200 and got as high as number 60. The single Better Not Tell Her was actually pretty successful and hit number 4 on the adult contemporary charts. There was another song off the album, Holding Me Tonight, peaked at number 36. But this particular song was not part of that. It is also worth mentioning that the album made it to number 64 in Canada. So good job to Carly Simon. This song is not my cup of tea. I would say objectively, it's probably about a 3 out of 5. Subjectively, didn't like it. It's a 1 out of 5. But mad respect. 15 albums, like, dang, that's crazy.
Yeah, she was cranking them out, man.
So
she be singing those songs.
Mm. And, like, she has a string of hits. Like, I was looking up her in general. She had some songs that reached as high as number 13, 17, 14, 6. She had a number one, You're So Vain.
Yeah.
Probably think this song is about you. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
It just clicked now. It just clicked for me. I'm so sorry, everyone. So
Carly Simon's pretty famous.
Yeah, for that song, Call Me Maybe.
Okay. Let's see. This episode was written by Austin Guzman and directed by Tony Phelan and aired February 16th, 2012 to 8.13 million views.
What in the actual butt-loving turd bucket?
Yeah, and I watched the promo for it and it really wasn't anything special. They were like, 2-hour crossover event. Oh, and it just kind of was cutting to Derek and Amelia and then Alex being like, you gotta get on a plane right now, bah! And like, that was it. I was like, this is a weird promo.
Big misdirect, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was just like disjointed. Like, it didn't, because the whole like, you have to get on a plane right now, I was like, who would he be talking to? Because like, I'm trying to look at it from a lens of, I haven't seen this yet. I'm like, Derek and Amelia are already there. I don't know. It was just like a weird, I was like, who are you? Who is this for? I don't know. It was
also,
I did not feel like it was very well promoted.
I also don't know that this was as intense of a crossover.
It wasn't.
Can I just start this episode by saying kind of a letdown, actually?
Yeah, I also remember more Grey's things happening on the private practice side. But
yeah, not,
I guess
not really
I was
much.
Just thinking of the next episode, maybe? I'm not really sure.
Is the next episode another crossover?
No, I just think I remembered more of this plot line that is currently happening in Grey's, like occurring in this crossover episode. But I guess I was just remembering like the time wrong.
That's okay. Because, sorry, podcast, John. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm stop sorry. It. I'm so sorry.
In previous crossover episodes, we've had like a lot go down on both sides of the episode.
Yeah, so, I was expecting
yeah.
the storylines to be more cohesive, but like Private Practice literally had its own set of storylines.
Right, which I thought that had like one, and then I thought more of them intertwined with the Grey's side. Like when they brought in Archer and everyone was there.
He died, right?
No, he did not die.
He didn't? Okay.
He did not die. What You watched, which episodes of Private Practice did you watch? I know I gave you a couple, and then you watched, like...
I made it up through the very intense Charlotte getting raped and beaten episode.
Right. But then, like, after that, I had told you that, like, there were, like, two episodes... Well, the episode where Erica Hold shows on. Up I'll, and I'll is...
Pull... Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's like, I had your baby. And then, like, two or three before this, right?
Yeah. So, basically, I go from season 4, episode 7, where, like, the last thing Charlotte says to Cooper, which is one of the coldest things. There's a lot of just, like, very intense monologues, but this was, like, super cold. She was like, and cold in a good way, "You ever call me the victim again, this marriage is off." Boom! I like Charlotte so much. And then we jump to Addison being in therapy, and then that lady named Jody who lives in the 51st Dates loop.
Oh, God, I hate that.
And then the one where... and I think that episode is also where we meet Mason?
Yeah, Mason and Erica.
Yeah. And then we go to another episode. You have me go to season 5, episode 12... which is about the guy who beat his wife with the baby inside of her, and then he breaks into Violet's house and beats her up,
which,
too.
Which, by the way, is not the first time we've met those people. But I, like,
I think I met them
when
before,
when I originally
right?
was making the list, I was like, it was so many. I was like, I'm just getting carried away. I'm just throwing in episodes I want you to watch that are not really that relevant to this storyline. So then I was like, I gotta pull back.
Well, I got to tell you, some of those Hulu synopses are like, they're one lines, and it's like,
yeah, a lot of them are the same as the Netflix ones.
But
and they're not very helpful, which, I mean, is better than it being a spoiler, but, like, also.
No, like, it was good. But, like, one of the lines was like, Pete clings to his life. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I guess Pete had a heart attack. Pete and Violet aren't together anymore. Yeah. Addison and Sam aren't together anymore, but they did just bone.
Yes.
And Addison's trying to have kids, and this Jake guy is, like, wooing her, and Violet's having sex with some hot 29-year-old or something. Hot,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, he's EMT.
EMT.
He is really hot.
And I guess Naomi adopted Betsy.
Naomi is gone, and Jake is Naomi's replacement. That's who Jake is, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Got it. And her and Fife get married? Okay.
So many feelings.
I'm excited to see this storyline because it's they boned and then she left to go to
William.
Have William die and then came back. And yeah, okay. Anyways.
Also, you have to watch the Amelia storyline is my favorite.
And she relapsed, right?
Yes, but, like, the way they do it, it's, like, very... Like, that actress, her name is Katarina. She's so talented. And I just, like, every time I watch that there's a specific episode where they deal with it. I mean, there's multiple, but, like, there's one specific one. And I'm, like, every time I watch it, I'm, like, this woman should have Oscars for this episode of television, which is not a thing that people do, but it needs to happen. It's that good.
I'm growing to like Amelia.
Amelia has a really, like, it just, like, insane arc for, like, what her character goes more than anyone, really, like, anyone on a Shonda show. Like, there's not really a comparable arc because it's not like, okay, Alex just, like, learns to be a good guy. Like, he does.
Right.
And,
he,
like, his character arc is a
arc.
Lot. But there's, like, that's really just him, like, being a good person versus someone, like, it's just a different type of arc than watching someone go through a drug addiction. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, I really like Amelia, and there's a lot of people who don't, and that's their business, but I disagree with them.
Well, I'm excited to go back and watch it. I think, what brings me joy is that they currently, in my current knowledge, have not broken up Charlotte and Cooper. So that brings me joy. I hope they never break up. I don't know. Like, are you willing to spoil if they break up? Like, I'm kind of invested in them. I don't want to see them break up.
I don't want to spoil it. I will tell you this, though.
Oh.
Private Practice ended a long time ago. I don't remember when. This episode is from season 5 and it ended in season 6. So it ended in like 2013, 2014. Okay. There has been a show since then, like within the last couple of years, that
called Practice Private.
No, but it's completely different show. Like, it's not in this universe at all. But the actor who plays Cooper and the actor who plays Charlotte are married in the other show.
Oh, okay.
And cool. I don't know if like the person, I can't even remember what show it is, but I don't know if the person who wrote that show is like a big Private Practice person. And they were like, let's get these guys because I want to see them. Or like,
what how many people can I get of this show? Just these two.
I just remember like a Private Practice and Grey's fans being really excited about it and being like, oh my God, it's like a reunion, because they had them be like other, literally completely different characters, but married in this other show.
Did they act the same way? Like, did the Charlotte person act the same?
I have literally no idea. I don't even remember the name of the show. I'll have to go back and find it. But yeah, I just thought that was fun. So that's like not a spoiler, but just a fun fact.
Oh, well, I'll have to go find that and watch it in like 3 years.
Okay, so the Netflix Hulu synopsis for this Grey's episode is... Amelia arrives at Seattle Grace to beg Derek to help with the case. So, pretty accurate, but there's just so much else that happens.
Do you want to go ahead and do we just want to tackle the Private Practice stats and stuff now, or did you want to do that in the next episode?
I really only had the writers and directors.
That's fine.
It's the 15th episode of the 5th season. It was written by Steve Blackman and Craig Turk and directed by Allison Liddy Brown, who we have seen direct Grey's before, but don't believe we've seen the other two.
I've never heard those names before.
Yeah, but Allison Liddy Brown we've definitely had before, so she's more familiar, which makes sense because like they are doing Grey's stuff, so it would make sense that like they had a Grey's person on
some
one
knowledge,
side, at least.
Some baseline. Yeah. What was the name of the Private Practice episode?
You Break My Heart. And it
You Break My Heart.
7.08 million views. So like a million people didn't watch the second half.
That's kind of a big number. Like a million people said, I don't care how the surgery turns out. Let Erica die. Yeah. Let her live. I don't give a crap.
Like, fuck this lady. I don't care.
Yeah. Who cares? I will tell you, if I was one of those people who missed out on this, if I was watching it live, I think that one of the dopest monologues that I have ever seen in TV was delivered by Sam's sister to Sam in that Private Practice episode. Like, I am really excited. Is it weird that this Private Practice episode may have been a little bit better in some ways in the Grey's episode? I'm not saying that the whole episode was great, but there's some things about this episode
definitely
that I'm like,
yeah, there are a lot of like they're setting things up, I feel, more in the Private Practice side, and you're like, you like want to know what happens next, but also you specifically want to know what happened before.
I'm like, what's happened? I need to know what happens
which
before.
I feel like when they do crossover episodes, they do that because that's how they hook more viewers in. I will say, when it comes to Shondaland and crossovers, sorry, heartburn. I always watched Private Practice, so like crossovers weren't a big deal to me because I already was caught up. But like when they started doing Station 19 and they started doing Station 19 crossovers, I still haven't watched most of Station 19. I've watched like some episodes, but I would blindly watch those crossovers, and I was like, I don't care about these people, which is gonna like ruffle feathers because I know a lot of people love that show and I will watch it.
Maybe you and I could watch that together.
Yeah, we'll go in blind and watch that one together. But yeah, I just like I would watch but they would do the same thing where they would like have these characters that I was like unfamiliar with basically have these like cliffhanger moments to try and get the type of audience who was watching Grey's but not Station 19 to be like, come on over here, watch this show, like, don't you want to know what happens next to these people? And I'm like, kinda, but not enough to watch it.
And that's when you say, all I care about is Hercules Mulligan. That's it.
There was one episode that was a crossover that I went to watch the episode before to try and give myself some like frame of reference, and I watched the complete wrong episode, and then I was just really annoyed. It was like four seasons wrong. I was like, okay, well, never mind. That's what I get for trying.
I like the idea of these crossovers. It feels like more shows are trying to do it. Like, I know that the Chicago Fire, PD,
Med,
Health,
there's
Med, yeah, Universe,
everything.
Chicago food truck involved with that too.
They never did a house crossover. No one ever house crossed over. Bless you.
Woo! Podcast sneeze. I would have loved a house crossover. I would love for House to just show up on an episode of Grey's as House, and then now they become canon.
Did Scrubs ever do any kind of crossovers?
No.
Let me tell you, Netflix really wants me to watch all of your USA shows. Like, it keeps telling me to watch Suits. It keeps telling me to watch... did you watch Blue Collar? Because it keeps telling me to watch Blue Collar.
White Collar. Yeah.
That too.
What's... Blue Collar's not a show on there.
Shh. It's fine.
You haven't watched Suits?
No.
Oh, man. I just... Who just started Suits that I'm like, yo. Oh, my friend Tanya just started watching Suits, and I was like, you better buckle up your asshole, because this it's just such a that show, I think, is my number two favorite show of all time.
Wild. Yeah, well, I will say, every time it suggests me that, I'm like, ugh, I can't watch it, because I'm like, Carmen will get mad at me. I feel like we're gonna have to podcast about it.
We really should, because you don't have the spoilies. How rare is it that we don't have the spoilies? That's actually, it's funny. I forgot to mention this. The girl who was messaging me, her name was Kate. She's also watching Grey's live for the first time. She's in episode 4 or 5 of season 8, so she's almost caught up to us. So I think she had the George death spoiled, but that was it. So like, Kate, when you get to this point, just stick with us, stay with us, because it's going to be so fun. You and me. So
wild. So yeah, I haven't watched a lot of your shows, like Psych. I've never watched Psych, never watched Suits,
I think
never watched White Blue Collar.
You out of all of those shows, I think you personally would enjoy Suits the most.
Yeah, I just feel like I want more drama than I do comedy.
And that's why you would like Suits.
Is Psych a 30 minute episode?
It's a 45.
Yeah, for a comedy, I need like Ted Lasso, like 20 minute episodes if it's a comedy. if it's a drama,
Scrubs,
I'm like, I'll commit more time to it.
It's fair. Scrubs was short.
Scrubs I watched a lot of when I was in high school, because the person I was dating at the time was like obsessed with it. So I watched a lot of it, but I don't remember most of it. I was like, guess I was super invested in it.
The thing about those shows is they're comedies, yes, but they do tackle some heavy things intermittently. Yeah. But Scrubs actually started out as a dramedy, and they found their comedy stride more and connected more on the comedy side. So they leaned into it, and it became a comedy. But the first like two seasons are very drama with comedic aspects, and the rest of it is like, no, we hard pivoted. We shifted.
Yeah. I finished my Gilmore Girls loop, because I just have it on loop all the time. And Netflix is like really into emailing me right now. Like every time I finish a show, they're like, email me, and they're like, tell me about you, what you think, and here are some other shows you should watch. I'm like, I just, on the app, you're already telling me what else to watch, and I already told you what I thought when the show ended and you asked me what I thought. But they end me this email, and it was like, you finished Gilmore Girls, if you're ready, here are some new shows. And I was like, I know, like, if I'm emotionally ready to move on past Gilmore Girls, which, for the record, I am not. I have already started it over again.
Oh my gosh.
I just loop it. Like, it's just on in the background. It's on when I like go to sleep. It's on when I'm cleaning. It's just it's my white noise.
Mm.
It's my comfort show. It's my warm blankie show.
I love that. I thought that was Friends.
I do that sometimes as well, but
Sometimes right now, it's the Gilmore Girls face.
The dulcet tones of Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel.
I think you mean Oksana from Vampirina. Oksana, not Oksana.
Could be either.
For all of you psych fans out there, I've heard it both ways. So let's talk about Grey's now that we're like almost a half an hour into the show. Christina and Owen seem to still not have their poop together, which is fine with me.
Christina has all of her poop together. Owen is flinging his poop everywhere.
He's actually taking it out of his rumpus and eating it himself.
I actually hate this man. This is such a I hate him. I mean, I was furious. He has no respect for females. Like, it's so obvious in this episode that he's like, if you don't want children, there's something wrong with you, which is such a fucked up thing to say. And there's definitely a lot of people who think that. And I don't have any stats on this, but I would venture a guess that most people who think that are probably male. But I could just be pulling that out of my own experiences, but that would be my assumption.
You mean, wait, sorry, you were talking specifically about the how
people
they don't
who
understand
think
people
there's
don't want kids.
Something wrong with you if you don't want kids. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually really glad they tackled this topic as an episode. I'm sure mm-hmm. this was still probably on the cusp of being very progressive back in what, 2011? Yeah. 12. But
I
even
don't think
now,
it's progressive so much as just like not really discussed.
Progressive in a sense that it was talking about a topic that wasn't getting a lot of open and empathetic airtime is what I mean by that.
What I liked about it was because when he's like, well, you're gonna like wake up one day and regret it, and she was like, well, maybe I will, but that'll be my choice. But they don't like leave it at that. She then says it is fine to never want kids and it is fine to never regret that. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me. So like they could have just been like, well, maybe one day I will regret it, but they didn't. They took it a step further and they were like, also fuck you. It's fine not to want it. And I don't need like a reason. I don't need, he goes, I wasn't mugged by a baby.
Well, the thing that's really, she says the thing that was on all of our minds. At one point, she says something to the effect of like, you sat there and then held my hand through this abortion and then turned around months later and yelled at me at a party.
Yeah.
Pick a lane, Owen.
Also, it pisses me off because he's like, you didn't tell me you didn't want kids until after the wedding. That's not true. There was a conversation that was, yes, cut short, but they could have gone back to it because she said it in a surgery and then he said it at the house. He was like, you said you didn't want kids. So he acknowledged that he heard her say it in the surgery prior to that. And this was before the shooting, before they were married, everything. Because that's when he's like, oh, I got to go back to therapy because Christina's scared of me again. So it's just, I hate him.
Yeah, I hate him so much. Wild. It is interesting to see them go through all of the like full ranges of emotion. Like at one point, where are my notes for their therapy session? When she says you proposed and we were married 12 hours later, I'm like, yeah, dude. Like at this point, just get the divorce. Just get the divorce.
Stop blaming her for your. Also, like he just looks at her like, well, I'm waiting for you to change your mind. That's on him. That's not on her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, like, come on.
Well, then she says, I choose medicine and I choose me. Why are we blaming? Why are we victim blame? Why not victim blame? Why are we blaming her on this? And why are we making this some sort of like Owen's making himself a victim is what I meant to say on this. Like she's doing it to him.
Yeah.
No, dude. Like, yeah. Also, and let's not forget that you really took advantage of the situation of her going through her own shit.
Yeah.
And forced her into a marriage, kind of.
Yeah, and also when she says, I choose medicine, I choose me, I personally believe, regardless of the profession Christina Yang would have gone into, she would have chosen not to have children. She could have won the lottery and chosen not to work and never had children. I just like believe as a person, she doesn't want them. I don't think it's necessarily tied to her career. That's my belief.
Yeah, I agree. And that's so here's Here's where there was a little bit of a brief glimmer of hope. They cut to a point where Owen is like, well, you know, there's a reason, or he or she said, there's a reason that we're together. There's a reason we're married. And
Christina says that when she's right. like begging him to make any amount of effort.
Yeah. And then Owen has said something in the next scene they're together where they are comparing. He's like, well, Meredith has a baby. And Christina's
oh my God, that pissed me off so much.
Right. And it's like, oh, you guys, the Twisted Sisters do everything together. Like, you can't compare them. You do everything else together. Shut up. But when he says, I should be your person, and when Christina says, then be my person.
Literally.
I don't understand what Owen meant when he was like, well, be my person. She came to you and she begged you for this. She's choosing you.
Do exactly what I want. Submit to me fully. Like, that's what he meant. I don't have an argument. I'm just going to say this thing back to you because I'm losing the fight. That's what he meant.
She said, be my person in a sense of support me and love me. He says, be my person as in I want to own you with the ring on your finger because I paid 3 sheep to your dead father.
Quite literally, he sucks so much. This is a very big shut the fuck up Owen Hunt episode.
I used to like Owen.
I know. I kept my mouth shut for so long because I will say rewatching it, he was likable at first. Like before you get to know his character in any way, he's great. But afterwards, after he shows his true colors, you really have to hate him because he fucking sucks.
Yeah. He just doesn't need to be in a relationship, let alone a relationship with Christina.
Yeah.
He needs some time to heal on his own.
We have spoken on this ad nauseum with like wanting different things in life is a very valid reason to end a relationship. There are plenty of times when you truly love someone and want to be with them, but it does not make sense if you do not want the same things to stay together. And that is what this is. But it's like we're circling back to it so much, and Owen keeps making it seem like there is a chance to move past it, but there clearly isn't.
It's all on him.
So it is like, I can look at it from the perspective of, well, like when he says, oh, my needs deserve some consideration, I'm like, this is a valid argument, or not even argument, a valid conversation to have before you marry a person. Again, he knew she had said she didn't want kids. If you want to expand on that conversation, that is reasonable. Do that before you marry her. Don't also be like, she'll change her mind. And if she doesn't, I'll be fucking pissed.
Yeah. The thing that's frustrating about that, like what you just said about like taking them into consider, like him into consideration, whatever. She did. She heard him out. She had her choice. Even if she had her mind made up, it's not like she wasn't. Oh, I see a spider. It's on the other side of the room, so I'm not going to run over there and kill it. It's minding its own business, but it will probably get me in my sleep tonight because I'm letting it live.
That's fine.
So, yeah, I think back to that, those couple of episodes, and she wasn't doing it to him.
No.
She was doing it for her.
She was living her life. He is also there. Because that's what partnership is. But he was not allowing her to exist on her own, which is part of partnership. It's like it's not just all, we have to be on the same page all the time or else.
And you know what's the wild thing about this? Like, I'm not trying to, this is not like an acceptance or like trying to give Owen a pass. Imagine a world where Christina never tells him, gets the abortion, and he never knows. Nothing changes for them.
That is true. Well, he probably still eventually at some point would be like, so we're going to have kids now, right?
And that's when she's like, no, dude, I've had like 6 abortions.
Remember when I told you I don't want kids? And he'd go, yeah, but you changed your mind, right? Meredith has a kid, right?
She's the cool aunt. Leave her alone.
She's just like, it's just like, people don't have to have kids. Like, just fuck off, Owen. God, he pisses me off. Yeah, this was a, I mean, I was like livid every time they were on screen, and she is like making, she is making so much more of an effort. And it's like, he just wants to go there to have this therapist be like, to say that he's right.
And they
she wants like a solution to, and she's like, he just has to stop like holding grudges and, you know, like keeping score basically, which is good advice in a marriage. Don't like keep score because you're on the same team, not different teams. So scorekeeping is bad. It's hard. I'm not saying that I do this. Like it's, I feel like it's the kind of more natural to like kind of keep that scorecard in your head and be like, well, you got this, so I want this or whatever. But that's really not a better, a good way to look at it. And especially in their case with like the grudge holding and the aggressive hatred that is seeping out of his pores that he is like pretending isn't there. I would have loved a scene of whose idea it was to go to therapy, who asked whom. Because I feel like it's very strange. I feel like it's logically, it's hard for me to say it came from either of them.
No. Yeah. They probably tripped into the office and the guy's like, well, you're here. So you have any problems?
I almost like it. It makes more sense. If you just look at the fact of like the last couple of episodes, it makes more sense for it to be Christina. Cause Owen is the one that like just sprung moving out on her. And she is the one that went to him and said, please still love me. But if you look at their characters as a whole, it does not make sense for Christina to be the one to suggest it. So I don't know.
Well, it also doesn't make sense for Christina to go to Owen at the way the last episode ended. Like,
but I mean,
that's growth and healing on her.
See progress the last time she went to therapy with him. So maybe it's coming from like a place of this has helped before, it can help again. But yeah, to me, it was just, I was like, who did this? Who got this appointment? Whose idea was this?
I believe that you mean whom's ideas was it?
Idioms.
Whom's idioms.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Official prediction and desire is that they get a divorce.
Yeah. It's
this way
desire,
Jackson
truly,
and I'm Christina just, can end up together.
Yeah, God, I just wrote I hate him so much so many times in my notes.
If they break up, get him off the show. Actually, even if he's together with her, get him off the show.
he just Doctors Without Borders now.
I just, even if they wanted to rectify his character, I just don't know how. I need to know, do we have any listeners out there who your favorite character is Owen Hunt? I'm just curious. Message me, not Kelsey.
Like, I have seen things on TikTok and Grays where it's like these clips of Owen and then people being like, I don't know why people hate him so much. And I'm like, did you not just watch this clip? It's like, we surely watched the same clip. Like, it'll be like the clip of him screaming you killed our baby and people in the comments being like, why do people not like Owen?
He wasn't the one who killed the baby, she
I
killed the baby.
Don't understand. It's I'm like, we maybe they didn't watch the show. I don't know. But again, I'm like, yeah, if you stop watching before him and Christina get married, it's not as bad. Most of the issues arise after the marriage, in my opinion. I mean, I think there were probably a handful of moments, but I mean, I remember really biting my tongue about it before because it really was, he wasn't that bad. And I was like, damn, when does this shift come? Because I like remember obviously these big moments, but I was like, is it little by little or all at once? And it came in. They definitely, they
it
introduced
feels pretty...
it, I felt like, in a way that flowed pretty easily.
Yeah. He should have just
like,
chose Teddy.
I'm like on the writer's end. I'm like, do you want us to see both sides? Because I don't.
I'm assuming they probably do want you to see both sides, but they're I think they're very heavily skewing you towards one side. And
yeah, I don't
feel skewed. I'm choosing to be skewed based on my opinion.
I'm just skewing myself. That's why I was like, if you want us to be on, like, see both sides, you got to make him less of a piece of shit. Because right now I'm just seeing, I'm like, even if you're looking at it just like as two sides of an argument, and like, yes, there's one that I'm clearly going to agree with more, you could have him present his side in a less shitty way. Like, I just feel when he's like, well, he's so condescending, he's so patronizing, like, it's just, I'm like, you don't think that this woman is your equal. You don't think that you're in a partnership. You truly think she should just lay down everything she's ever wanted in life and do what you want so you can have something. I don't know.
I mean,
you're just talking in circles about how much I hate this man. It's okay. there's not enough ways for me to say it. I'm going to start learning new languages so I can learn how to say I hate Owen Hunt in more languages.
So let's talk about...
Let's take a wee break and then we'll switch to a different storyline. Unless, did you have anything else about the therapy?
No, but...
it sucks.
I think it's important to note that my therapy's going better than Owen's.
That's a pretty low bar, but I'm happy for you.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll do a thing. And we are back.
That was an ad for therapy. I hope it was an ad for therapy. okay. Next storyline that we're going to chat about.
We can talk about Alex.
Yeah. And Morgan, who we've never seen before a day in our lives, but everyone else in the hospital knows.
Yeah.
Which, like, honestly, I was thinking about it and I was like, it is fine because there are obviously main characters on this show and we don't see every single second of every single day that they exist. We don't see them going to the bathroom. We know they go to the bathroom. So I'm like, okay, I was actually under the impression
that they didn't.
Remember when Christina and Lexi were wearing diapers?
I do remember that.
So yeah, I was like, okay, I can suspend the disbelief enough to be like, people know who this girl is.
Yeah, and the way they made it sound, they made this funny storyline of Alex is not, he doesn't have a study buddy, he's got a study lackey. Mm-hmm. And April and Jackson are like, we're study buddying it up, painting the picture of their future lovemaking relationship. And
because in your lovemaking relationship, you quiz each other.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we've all seen Billy Madison. We know how that goes.
OK.
So. Anyways. All right. I was saying something. Now I'm distracted by thinking about that scene in Billy Madison.
Alex has study lackeys.
Alex has study lackeys. He can't remember her name. He thinks her name is Megan. It's Morgan. He doesn't even know she's pregnant. She starts talking about the symptoms of her own situation while they're in the thing, and she passes out. He's like, what the heck? Blah, blah, blah. Someone help her. I got a thing in my hand. So they get her. She's got to deliver this baby. It's pretty intense. You got Arizona on the baby. You got Teddy for 5 seconds in this episode doing stuff on her aortic dissection. Alex finally gets a hold of some boyfriend who lives somewhere else. It's a very weird situation. And also they put a little arc in there for Alex's character.
I didn't super remember that. And this whole episode, I was like, Alex, get the fuck together. Like, you could not be more clueless. Like, come on, dude. And then finally at the end of the episode, he gets his head out of his ass and he's like, oh wait, I kind of suck. And Arizona's like, a little, but it's okay.
Well, it's a fun end of the episode because, sorry, podcast burp. It's a fun end of the arc for this storyline because he's like, I've been so self-absorbed. I'm worrying about myself. I didn't learn my intern's names. Like, I don't deserve this fellowship. And Arizona kind of turns and she's like, look, you remind me of myself. And I was a horror show as a resident, but like, we're hardcore, we're vicious. This is a tough specialty, but like, also, yeah, learn your residents' freaking names, dude. Like, get your head out of your butt. So yeah. I really like that monologue moment with Arizona. But yeah, Alex, he kind of has, they almost make you think that he's going to go the whole episode and not remember Morgan's name.
Yeah. Or like learn a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's just like him
he's just gonna
studying
get to the end and be like, who is this? Are you, wake up and quiz me.
Yeah. And he, you know, he's there when she wakes up and she's like, oh, you're only here because it's quiet. And he's like, nah, dude, no, I'm here because I care. And she's like, well, it's okay. Go ahead and study.
You should study. It is quiet.
Yeah.
So yes, the Morgan is 24 weeks pregnant. So like the cusp of like literally the cusp of viability. She's like having indigestion, heartburn. Gave me pause because I have had incessant heartburn with this pregnancy. And I'm like, am I having an aortic dissection? No, I just have heartburn like a regular person. And so she like collapses. They figure out the baby's fine, but she's having this heart attack. Teddy's like, we got to get in there fast. We got to deliver this baby.
And so Alex catches it. He's the one who catches it. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
They deliver the baby. They fix her dissection, but there is some complications on both sides. But the baby ends up being, I think, intubated, but stable. And he had... like a bowel,
an intestinal perf.
Yeah. So they have like a plan in place. Obviously, Arizona, they're watching, like they're very invested. They're like taking care of her. She wakes up and he makes sure that he's there and fills her in on everything that's happened. He gets in touch with the boyfriend. He's like, bro, you gotta get here. Like, this is some shit's going down. The boyfriend is at Columbia, which is in
a
different
right.
state.
A different country.
Where. It is a different country.
Columbia is, I want to say New York.
I feel like it is the Northeast. Columbia Med School.
Show me New York.
Tis New York. Well done.
Thank you.
So yeah, on the other side of the country. So my assumption would be that they met in med school. Oh, wait, I typed in med school. He's at the hospital. Is that also in New York? Probably.
I would assume. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, so I would assume that they met in med school and then went different ways for their internships
residencies
and whatnot. So she's 24 weeks pregnant. She's had this emergent situation. I truly wonder if it's scarier to be a doctor in that scenario because you know so much more of the odds, like what, like if they are stacked against you. Like, you can't just be like, well, I can take this doctor's word for, you know, when they say it'll probably be fine. Because Arizona says like, oh, the baby, like that's viable. And she's like, no, you can't say that. I know what you could say and you can't say that. So I'm almost like, on top of the hormones of like pregnancy and postpartum, and then like also just the amount of terrifying knowledge you have of every single thing that could potentially go wrong, I'm like, ugh, I would not like that.
It's even the same thing. So like, now we were out buying toys for Vanellope, and Marlo and Jess go and pick out this rope toy, and it's got all the little fringies on the end.
Your favorite.
And I'm like, I've seen way too many foreign body surgeries that are long linear foreign bodies from these rope toys.
Yeah.
So no, I've seen too much now.
I've seen too much,
but it's also true. Like, we watch a lot of medical TV shows, you and me, mm-hmm. like how often have we been looking at our kids going like, well, great. Our kid has cancer now. Like,
I'm literally like, if my kid trips and falls and hits their head wrong, like that's the end times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I try not to live my life in a way that lets them know that that's my gut instinct, because that's not healthy. And I don't want them to have that. Like, a healthy level of fear is good.
Healthy fear. Yeah.
That's not what I have. which is why I have to take the medication that the U.S. government wants to take away from me. If you guys think I'm a problem now, wait till they get rid of my SSRIs.
Oh, man.
Ooh, then it's going to be bad.
So we were at, I don't know if I told this story or not. We were at McDonald's the other day, like doing a play place visit. And there was this girl who crashed into a kid climbing in the play place. Did I tell you this?
No.
No. She would like the kid was less like younger than Marlo. And the play place says like you really should be 4 to 12 or something. Mm-hmm. Marlo is not. But like Marlo is a very agile climbing monkey machine. And this kid was probably a year and a half, like walking, climbing in this this play area, unobserved. The mom was like just sitting off to the side in the play place. But then this kid is walking around willy nilly on the tile floor, and a girl, as there are like two girls chasing each other running around, and the one girl doesn't see him, crashes into him. His head slams on the tile. Oh, and God. I'm like, it was loud where I'm like, Jessica, I want you to know, I'm usually very calm in these scenarios. If I heard that noise come from my kid, we're going to the hospital right now. And I've
never once. And also I need to scream at somebody else.
And to the,
I don't
to
care
the
if
lady,
it's an accident.
Right. To the lady's credit, she didn't yell. But like the dad of this girl didn't even go apologize. And I'm like, whoa, there's too many things happening here. And I'm like, Jessica, yeah, I don't say this very often, but I would be the one initiating an ER visit conversation.
Yeah.
And also, here's the last thing I'm going to say about McDonald's, because we're giving McDonald's way too much airtime here. And it's my fault. I can't tell you how little I care about these Pokemon cards they have in the Happy Meals.
I didn't know they had this.
They are doing a promotion right now with Pokemon cards in the Happy Meals.
Okay.
But there is some kind of hook that capitalism has in my brain that I need to go to McDonald's enough times to collect every single one of these Pokemon cards. I open up Marlo's pack from her Happy Meal thinking to myself, I need this card, and this card. And if it's not in this pack, I'm going to rage. And they're not in there. Or I get one of the three. And I'm like, oh, man, their hooks are in me.
Yeah. Those blind bags, man. Those blind bags will get you.
Seriously. Remember when life was simpler and you just would go get some Pokemon cards and open them up?
I've never once in my life bought Pokemon cards.
How do you experience joy?
Like many other things. Actively not buying Pokemon cards. Every time I see the signs out like at stores where I'm like, they're sold out, I'm like, I'm glad I don't collect those because you can never buy them anymore because the fucking Paul brothers ruined it.
One of these days, you're going to look back at your life and you're going to regret not choosing to open up Pokemon cards.
I do enjoy videos where people open them and like they get the really rare like holographic Charizards or whatever. And like just seeing how excited people get, I'm like, I love that for them. But like blind bags for me just piss me off.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite effect. I'm like, it's supposed to make me want to buy more, but it just makes me angry.
For me, I've told Jess, like if I ever had a wild amount of disposable cash, I just would go find the coolest cards and buy them and just have those because I don't want the extra cards. I just want the fun ones.
Didn't play Pokemon as a child, so I have no nostalgia attached to it. The only episodes of Pokemon I've watched are ones that Michael has made me watch since we have been together. So
I never played
no
the card game. I just collected
attached
the cards
to this at all.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't, but like as a child, where were you getting money?
I was begging my parents, who also had no money, or I was like doing chores and stuff.
I don't
remember having many Pokemon cards. I had an amount of Pokemon cards. I had more than two Pokemon cards.
I mean, I remember kids like coming to school with their notebooks and like the binders of Pokemon cards and like playing Pokemon actively at lunch and recess. But I was always like, I don't know what this means. This means
we would do the trading. I never did the game. I couldn't figure out the game, but I did the trading. I had the Game Boy games, but I had to like save up a long time to afford that.
Yeah. I never had a Game Boy.
I completed the original 151, and I still have those to this day.
That's an impressive feat.
Yeah.
And I love that for you.
Although I do have one card.
How did we get here?
I was telling you a story about Marlo getting crashed into. And
yeah,
then,
but how did we get there?
We've seen too much.
Watching too many things. We've seen too much.
We've seen too much.
Too much Shondaland. There was another show I was watching where nothing was happening. And I was convinced that like someone was just going to jump out and stab people. And I was like, this is the Shonda PTSD.
Well, someone does get stabbed in the second part of this crossover.
So true. Okay.
Should we talk about let's talk about Bailey's patient?
I was gonna say let's talk about Miranda. So not a great Miranda episode, and it's rare that we have those. But it feels true to life that you know everyone's going to have these moments. And so basically, she has this patient, Carrie, who she has done many, 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 many surgeries on. Like she had been working with her for 8 years through various cancer diagnoses and treatments. And she, I guess, had brought this surgery up to Bailey before. And Bailey was like, I don't want you to do it. It's not safe, or like the risks are too high. So she came back to the hospital and had them basically not tell Miranda. She said she snuck in like a little thief in the night or whatever, and asked Mark and Jackson to do this lymph node transfer, lymphedema, I think. And lymphedema is the thing that she has where her arms are giant. Something with the lymph nodes makes her arms giant like that. And so she wants this transfer to have a better quality of life, which is not unreasonable. And she basically says that to Miranda. She's like, you worked so hard to save my life. Wouldn't it be great if I could have a good life?
Like, yeah, for real.
You're giving me the opportunity to like meet my grandchild, but wouldn't it be great if I could hold him? Which is reasonable.
When you say it that way.
So Bailey is like harassing Jackson and Mark about even doing the surgery at all. And then she goes to Carrie, and Carrie pitches it in a better way, in a more convincing way. And so then she goes back to them and she's like, I've done so much with this woman. I want you to do this surgery because it's what she wants, but also like, I will kill you. So read the chart or whatever. And so Jackson takes it very seriously, and he does. He like really dedicates time and like learns the history of this patient, and he's like really focused on it. And then Miranda is also in the OR,
which is problematic.
It wouldn't be if she could have a fucking chill pill.
Yeah,
but she can't. She is like backseat driving to the nth degree. They like pull her forward, then she's on a stool, like literally breathing down Mark's neck. She's questioning everything both of them say or do.
There's actually a scene, the scene where Jackson goes, oop, and she goes, whoa, we don't oops in my OR. And he's like, well, hold on. I didn't say oops. I said oop, which like if you're from the Midwest, you know, oop can mean oop. Anything. Like
also respectfully, I believe it was Bailey's OR where Meredith dropped a fucking kidney. So I think we might oops.
Yeah, we might oops in her OR. But it was just that one time. Then Mark explains, I think, something to the effect of, well, Jackson had dropped a lymph node, or he had dropped something, or was about to drop
almost
something, but he
dropped
didn't.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And when things start going sideways, Mark is like, well, hold on. Stay calm. You're making the right choice. You're on the right path. But also, guys, let Bailey through. Let's get her a better view of every fucking
Mark
move.
Mark is practicing patience.
Yes.
Like, beyond anything I've ever been able to comprehend. I am not a patient person when it comes. I am patient if you're like, wait here, someone will be with you. I'm like, okay, I'll wait. I am not patient in things like this, where you like have to sit there and listen to someone else be a problem. That is when I'm like, I will just yell at you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. I'm also not good in the multi-level of stressors, especially when it comes to the interpersonal things. Like, these guys all have very similar, like, very intimate relationships. Yeah. Like, today, so Jess and I are sitting there having a disagreement at the dinner table, and Marlo is continuously not listening to me and getting off the kitchen counter, or the kitchen table from her seat.
We are also in that phase.
To just, but, like, she's just going to mess with the dog, and the dog is actually laying down, and I'm like, Marlo, can you please just stay in your seat for 2 milliseconds?
Yeah.
But I was going to go check out
Bennett
the
is also very much like, well, both my kids will just get out of their seats during a meal. And when you're like, and you say, stay in your seat, they go, but I just want to give you a hug. Oh my God.
Give me a hug later.
I am like, you can give me a hug as soon as you are done eating. Like, stay in the seat. I can't.
Yeah.
The amount of time it took both of my children to eat a single taco tonight, I was like, this is a world record. It has to be.
Well,
and I
so want to
set myself on fire.
Jess and I were talking, we're like, man, we can't get to bed so late. And I was like, it would be nice if our kid ate at a normal human pace for food consumption.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Yeah. Ugh.
I'm like, the speed that you're eating is probably normal. We'll just never know because you won't stay in your seat.
Yeah. All right, back to the lead.
I don't have the patience that Mark practices in this episode. So then it's getting to the point where Jackson is obviously flustered. He's doing a good job for the most part. But the more like tense Bailey gets, the more tense he gets. And so at some point, like, something very serious is happening and he really needs to focus. And Bailey's
Let me just get up all up in your bullshit. Yeah, the scar tissue that was formed, Bailey was like, well, actually, guys, hang tight because you shouldn't be going there because the scar tissue, which I noted in the file, and Jackson pulls out and he's like, hey, the spot you mentioned in the file is not going to be affected here because I read the file and the file you gave me, which I read. Like, he's like kind of like doubles
file.
And triples.
The file for Carrie.
Yeah. The
file specifically chosen for Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good call out. That was funny. And that's when Mark is like, yo, dude, if there's anything in this world that's distracting you, just know that, like, you have the power to get it out of your OR. And Jackson's like, oh, message received. Bye, Mark. No, just kidding. He says, bye, Bailey. You need to leave my OR. You are compromising my ability to care for my patient. And Mark stands up for him and stands up to Bailey. And I love that.
Yeah. I'm on both their sides, Jackson and Mark. Because, I mean, I think, again, at the end of the day, she feels like she's putting the patient first, but what she's doing is what he's saying. He's like, you're distracting me. You're making it hard for me to focus. And like, you're compromising her care by doing something that you also feel like is putting her first. So I think it's the right move, honestly. And I think he was very respectful about it. Oops. And something fell down. It's
fine. That's okay.
So it wasn't
Don't
me,
you mean,
so
oop.
That's all that matters. So I felt that he was respectful about it and stern. And then I like the wrap up of it later when Bailey goes to Mark and she's like, I did so much stuff even for her that was like groundbreaking. I don't understand why I was so against this. And he's like, oh, you know, the longer you do it, you see more risk and you know what can happen and you become more conservative. And
this is
she's
one of those.
Like, no.
Do we have the receipts on this one? This is a really good, really good dialogue. It's like a great combination of Mark's throwing love to her, but he's also savage at the same time. Like that last line of reporting her to the board.
Oh,
I'm like,
so
dang,
funny.
Bro. And he says it very, he's not being a dick about it. That's what I like about this.
He's being very matter of fact. She says, Avery was right. She's going to be able to use her arm. So why did I say no? You are being careful. Yes, but she was my prize patient. I've done groundbreaking surgery work on her behalf. you were a resident like Avery, you get more experience, you get more conservative. And she says, conservative? Oh, is that what success buys you? What, you get happy and you get scared? Don't want anything in life to change? And she, and he says, you're a grown up, you're risk averse because you know risk has consequences. That's why we keep residents around. They keep us fresh. Are you telling me I'm not young anymore? I'm trying to tell you you've arrived. Oh, and then he starts to leave and then he goes, oh, you pull that crap in my arg and I'll report you to the board. Now, I like all of this, but I have to say, to maintain consistency in the level that I hold all of these characters to, she should have also apologized to both Mark and Jackson. Because she sees that she was in the wrong and she sees that they were correct. She should apologize for the way she was in the OR and also how she spoke to them when she first found out about it. Because like that at the end of the day, that patient came looking for this surgery and she did research and she found good plastic surgeons there at this hospital. It is what she wants. They did not seek this woman out and like try to convince her to have surgery no one's ever done before. So I did feel like they both were owed an apology from her, and we don't get that very much from Miranda, and which is why we didn't. But I did like the conversation with Mark. I did like that a lot. I just wish she had been like, I am sorry for disrupting.
And I think it speaks to both like those two characters. I'm sure she probably went back and apologized to Jackson because that's the relationship.
I like to think so.
I think that this, again, to your point, I'm not saying that anyone's excused from saying the words, I'm sorry. Not, I want to apologize. I'd like to apologize. Yeah. Just apologize. Say, I'm sorry.
Is me apologizing. Is it though?
Yeah. But I do think that there is some truth to like, this conversation with Bailey and Mark, they leave understanding that she is sorry and he forgives her. So, but my truth is that the relationship she has with Jackson, she felt she needed to go back and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I do like to think, especially after this conversation with Mark, where he says like, you know, it makes sense that you've gotten here, but like, he's like the next generation. He's keeping us young. He's doing a good job and we need to like let them do that. So I like to think after this conversation, she would be motivated to go apologize to him for the incident.
I think those were all the thoughts I had on that. Do you want to talk meat grinder guy?
Oh, yes. What were your thoughts about these guys? So funny.
First off, when he goes, I look like Super Sada. I'm like, these guys. What's up? Tommy,
Dominic,
I don't remember the other guy's name either.
I don't know. What's another Italian name that's not Carmen?
Maybe it's just a Joey. Was he Joey?
Mike.
Mike. Of course it's Mike. Nah, that's fair. It's always a Michael. Tommy, Dominic, and Mike, they're funny guys. But this storyline is a conduit for Weber and Callie.
Oh my gosh.
Getting Meredith testing for the boards. The way I need to... Okay, listen. I'm working myself up because this is a very good storyline. The moment that Weber walks up from the shadows,
the way that Callie's scene is shot, just reflections. I was like, the whole time, I was like, I want to know whose choice this was. Like, was this the way they wrote it, or was this the director that was like, wouldn't it be funny if we shot the whole thing in the reflection? Like, it's some kind of crazy, like, Western,
yeah,
weird, shady political backdoor deal. I mean, and I loved it. It's funny.
It was so funny. And the way he's like, Meredith Grey, she needs to be on our radar. And she's like, what makes you think that she's good enough? Like, there's like, you really don't know what it's about at first. But then it's like, oh, this is just for Callie's study system. Like, what?
Which I think they said for the intern exam, Callie also had cards because she gave them to Christina and not George, because it was when George was, you know, being the worst.
Yeah. Right before they killed him.
So it's like a callback to like, she's really good at tests and studying.
Yeah. And it's just funny that it's like a, it almost makes you think that Weber specifically helped Callie, and he's like, there's like a brotherhood or sister brotherhood of like this study Illuminati that Weber and Callie are a part of, and they're trying to get Meredith in. And then she's asking every time that there's a something where they're like, all right, Meredith, take it away. And she says something and Callie is like, are you sure about that? Is this
art? I don't know. Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can we? And Meredith is visibly getting annoyed, but is still doing a good job of being a doctor. So
yeah.
But the moment where she's like, oh, we'll get this, like the Sawzall, and just like chop this machine up. And they're like, wait. Is it going to like ruin the machine? And she goes, well, yeah, but then he'll still have a hand. And they're like, well, now hold on.
Yeah.
We don't want to ruin the machine.
Why would you want to use that machine afterwards? Look at what was in there.
I don't know how much cleaning one can really, I don't know if there's enough bleach for me to want to use that again.
Yeah, I agree. But when they're like, all right, we're going to need a set of Allen wrenches. And the one guy says, make it 2 stat. I'm like, oh goodness, it's really funny. So they're going through, it's taking longer than the 45 minutes that Meredith has allotted for these guys, and then they decide to do a tourniquet above the arm. But leading up to this, she had discovered that there's like viability to these fingers, like there's blood flow, there's reaction, there's all that. And when they get the arm out, both those dudes faint. And it's really
so funny. So funny. It reminds me about how they always like make husbands or partners not look when they give the epidural. Or if they make you sit by your partner's head while they do the C-section so that you don't pass out. You leave when they did Jessica's epidural.
Yes.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah. I would have stayed. But they had enough people there like holding her that she was fine. But I was like,
no, they made Dylan leave when they gave Karina her epidural too. And I was like, that's crazy to me. Both times in 2 different hospitals, they let Michael stay. They just were like, we have a chair. You sit here. And you just look at your wife and nothing else. He would absolutely watch it and be fine. He's a weirdo about needles.
I would have been okay. I genuinely, I'm like, I would be willing, the next kid, if the Lord willeth, I'm like, I'm going to look inside of my wife's cavities. I'm going to look inside of the,
okay.
I'm going to look inside of her body and see the uterus just out there and like the organs in a bowl on the table. I'm just going to look at it and see what happens.
Yeah. It's also peeled open. That is.
Oh, I didn't remember that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's how they get to the organs. Mm-hmm. You just gotta, you know,
it's for sure different when you're looking at humans and animals. That's for sure.
Yeah. Also what's weird about a C-section is, she's awake.
Yeah.
All those animals are sedated. And in my mind, it's just like a little more trippy that like that person's awake and like conscious.
That's fair. That's and, fair.
Like, all of their organs are out of their body. Not all of their organs, but like at least a couple.
Yeah. Maybe I won't, but like, man, if the next kid that we have is the last one we have, like that, this is my one shot. I really need to think this through.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't want to look back and then change my mind and then regret it because I chose medicine.
I chose me. I will say, actually, I asked Michael this tonight because we've had a lot of dialogue about how this child will be our last. And I said, do you have any concerns about like after this baby is born, like wanting to have another one? He was like, he was like, I'm not going to rule it out. And I was like, yeah, same. But I cannot be pregnant again. I was like, I cannot do this again. Like, I'm so bad at it. And as I get older, I get worse at it. And as there are more children to chase around, I get worse at it. So I was like, I just don't know what I would do, because I cannot be pregnant again. But if we wanted another baby, I would be like, well, that's a bummer.
Yeah. I imagine
we can't afford any of the other ways to have another baby. So,
yeah. Yeah. And especially not in Trump's America.
Yeah, not with these eggs that are $7,000 a piece.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so there's a scene where they cut and Meredith says that the fingers smell like pork. And Jackson and Lexi,
gross.
they're razzing Alex up in the gallery for being an idiot and not knowing Morgan's name. All while Lexi's like, oh my gosh, I know about her boyfriend. They've like blah, blah, blah. Like, she just rattles off all these things. And I like that Amelia and Lexi kind of have this breakthrough moment, which, by the way, there's other funny things that happen with Lexi and Amelia that I'm excited to talk about probably in the next episode, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But
no, we're not going to talk about that at all.
Oh, okay. Well, we should skip it. Wait till next week. And they have this breakthrough of like talking about the carotid artery versus the femoral artery. And Alex like really wants Meredith to puke.
Yeah.
Like, why?
I don't know. That feels like a you thing, though.
I think puke is very funny.
Yeah, and Callie even, she's like, why are you getting grossed out by amputated fingers? And she's like, it's because it smells like pork. And Callie's like, oh, yeah, OK, that's fair.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, they are originally like, Meredith's like, there's no way this is good. Then she realizes the fingers are still like if she squeezed them, the blood flow comes back. So they're still like connected, which is crazy, because what is happening in this meat grinder?
His
arm is bent this way. And also these things, like, I don't understand. I don't want to understand. And I don't.
I need to understand, how did his hand get in the meat grinder, Kelsey?
I don't know how meat grinders work. I don't know if it's like, it clearly has to be some kind of automated thing. It's not like a manual crank, because he would have stopped.
It
has to be like automated. I don't know. I don't need the backstory. I don't like it.
It really makes you kind of second guess eating like sausages or hot dogs that come from these augers. You're like, what kind of human remain body parts am I actually eating?
I'm already not eating a lot of hot dogs anymore. Kind of a bummer. They make me just feel like dookie when I eat them.
Oh man, nothing makes me feel better food wise than a nice, nice couple of hot dogs.
I was talking about Portillo's the other day. I thought about you.
Hey, I'm honored.
We were talking about all the like famous chains that are specific to certain cities, because they're probably going to build an In-N-Out here in Chattanooga.
Incredible. Shut up.
Yep. They said they're thinking about two or three here. So thriving.
They need to put a Portillo's, an In-N-Out, and a White Castle all next to each other. And then
I don't,
and only then
I
will
don't,
I move.
I fear that they won't give us a White Castle because of the Crystal lore.
But put a Crystal right next to a White Castle and make them duke it out, you know?
Yeah, that's what they do with the CVS's and the Walgreens.
Yeah. Remember that time during, was it one of Scarlett's birthdays, where I was like, I want Crystal. And your mom was like, all right, let's go get Crystal. And we just had a little date and we went and got some Crystal.
Yeah.
I wasn't even wearing
shoes.
You were
like, I must have it.
Yeah. I went out in that car with no shoes on. Just no shoes and your mom.
So, yeah. Yeah, that made the meat grinder. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand the logistics. How you could possibly still be attached. Makes perfect sense that those guys fainted. And then, so everything's reattached. Well, three of them are still fully attached. Two of the thumb is not salvageable. And then I don't remember if the other one was salvageable or not, but the thumb was the one that kind of threw a wrench in it, because Callie's like, 40% of your hand movement comes from your thumb. If you don't have it, we should just amputate. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say, because that's still less than half.
Yeah.
So that was weird to me. But obviously Meredith like suggested the toe situation. She's like, we can do a big toe. I read about it. And Callie's like, no, big toes are important. We'll do the second toe. But which we have to like, get his consent, yeah. Which yeah. is fair. So they have to wake him up. One of the brothers is like, do they say they're brothers? Or did I just make that up?
I don't think they're brothers.
I feel like they have to be brothers.
They might be brothers.
They might be brothers. Anyways, so they come in, the one of them is like, his toe? That's so weird. And the other one's like, yeah, but I'd rather have my hand. So put my toe on my hand. I don't give a shit.
For sure.
Yeah. So,
I think that's
with that. And then that's kind of, and that's also when Meredith is getting his consent is when Weber comes back over to Callie and is like, told you. She's like, what are you just like? Walk around being the puppet master, and he's like, I'm so good at it.
Yeah, that is a really funny scene in general. Because he's like, girl, you did not come up with that toe thing. That is Meredith Grey to a T, you dookie. But that was really funny. And then after that, there is this really cool scene between them. And Callie's just like, look, you're impressive, right? Like, there was a lot of hype about you, Meredith Grey, daughter of Alice Grey, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm just saying that, like, you're tough and you're smart and we're alike. And I'm saying that I'll help you. And when you kind of have this throwback to Callie saying, I thought that you guys all hated me because of like me being with George and you thought I was a freak living in the hospital basement. and Meredith is just like, nah, dude, like you weren't a freak. And honestly, we can be friends. I don't think there's anything that I have beef with you. And that's when Callie's like, 5 days a week, 4 a.m. We're going to pass this test. Yeah. No, thank you. I don't think at 4 a.m. there's any amount of studying that I could do that would actually, I wouldn't retain any of it. None of it.
The only thing that I was like, I mean, they're already on absurd hours anyway, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
But I also have to call out what Dominic said because it was a Carmen moment when he was like, take my toe. You can take my left nut also. And Meredith was like, I think the toe's enough. Thanks.
Yeah, that was really funny. Also, when Meredith is like, we can use the toe, and Callie goes, listen up, Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was good.
That's funny. Very funny. I think that these are all the topics that we're going to cover in this episode. Yeah. I think maybe we go into talking about Erica, Amelia, Derek, and Lexi, and then we talk about the rest of the private practice stuff as long as we want to in the next episode.
That sounds great. And we will do that right after everyone's favorite segment.